Victory is ours. Amen? Victory is ours. Glory to God. When you accept the counsel of the Lord, I'm not talking about a man, I'm talking about the counsel of the Lord. And you stand on what God has given you from the office of the counsel of the Lord, He moves.
In a mighty way.
You just have to go through the circumstance, because at the end of every circumstance is what? The favor of God. I'm telling you, I can't express it to you, but unless this gets in your spirit, you're going to be moved. Does everybody understand? You're going to be moved, because this year is going to be your greatest battles, but it's going to be your largest victories, isn't it? You must get this in your spirit. This must be a part engraved in your belief system, that no matter what circumstances before you, God's favor is at the other side. And you get through it, pow! Amen? The whole thing is seeing the favor of God behind every circumstance. But you must be in divine order. If you're not in divine order, God's favor is stolen, even when He tries to get it to you. One of the things that it happened, you know, I was, you might have heard this already, but I was sharing, I was sitting in a room at my house, and all of a sudden the Lord started showing me about the discipleship program, and started showing, and He was going, good. And He started showing me about the deliverance, and He was going, good. And He started showing me about other things that the ministry is doing. He says, good. And He kept saying, good. And I'm going, praise God. You know, but I know the Lord. And I know something was coming. You know, He started saying, good, good. But, you know, then He said to me, now, do you want to know how to be totally free? And I said, well, yeah. And He said, then you must sever emotional attachments. And I'm thinking, well, what about the soul? And He said, no, emotional attachments are different. And I thought, wow. So He began to bring me through things of understanding about emotional attachments. And this went on for days. So we are going to start from the beginning so we can get some full understanding of this emotional attachments and what it is. How many of y'all want to be totally free? If you don't, you're in the wrong place. Praise God. So would you turn to 3 John verse 2? 3 John verse 2. We're going to lay a foundation so that we can get good understanding. 3 John verse 2. Glory to God. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Everybody say all things. All things. That means everything. That just does not mean a couple things, but He says all things. And be in what? Health. Wow, it's no good to have all things and be sick. Just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now He's talking about prosperity and prospering by knowing what? The truth. Does everybody get it? The truth. So, how many of y'all want to prosper in all things? Well, then you must know the truth. Because the Bible says that the truth is what sets us free. By the truth walking in you and you allowing the truth to guide you, truth is light, isn't it? Truth is a representation of light, and where light is, there's life. So when He says, if you know the truth, in other words, you know the life. And the life is allowing you to prosper. What life? The eternal life. Amen? Now, He says, it brought him great joy. Now, we know that the soul is associated with the mind or the thoughts and imaginations. All right? Mind, thoughts, and imaginations. The will, which is associated with choice and decisions. Right? Emotions, which are associated with feelings. Amen? And these feelings have attachments, don't they? Every thought, now I'm going to write this down. Every thought has an image. Every thought has an image. And every image has a feeling. And every feeling has an emotion. Are you with me? To prosper the soul, we must be willing to change and learn. And sever habits. Now listen. Because habits are reactions to emotions. Habits are reactions to emotions. And I'll share this again. I feel like we're doing a psychological course here. But it's not a psychological course. It's a spiritual. This is a school of the spirit. Okay. Every thought has an image. You don't even realize it sometimes, but every thought, you see something. You may not acknowledge it, but it's there. Every thought has an image, and every image has a feeling. Now let me explain something about feeling. Feeling is a representation of senses. When you say you feel something, it's because you sense something. Amen? Now, when you sense something, that means you perceive something. So if there are things in your life that you perceive incorrect, guess what? Your feelings are what? Incorrect also. Is everybody with me? Okay. Every thought has an image, every image has a feeling, and every feeling has an emotion. And emotions are reactions to feelings. In fact, in the word emotion, there's a word motion. That means movement. So emotions are reactions to your feelings. But if your feelings are associated with senses or what you perceive, your emotions, your reactions to those feelings, if they're not right, are incorrect, aren't they? Amen? Because these are things that we have perceived. Since when? Since we've been born into this world. That's why when somebody says to you, man, I really feel whatever, and you know that what they're feeling isn't the same thing, or what they're perceiving isn't the same thing you're perceiving. See, but they're going by how things were imparted in them. So if your perception of something was imparted from years ago, your feelings are going to be different than someone else's. And your emotions, which are the reactions to their feeling, will be different than somebody else also. Does everybody get it? Are y'all all right? To prosper the soul, one must be willing to change and learn. Amen? Change and learn and sever habits. Because habits are reactions to emotions. That's why you do things you don't even want to do sometimes. Are you with me? Praise God. Go to John 8, please. You know, an emotion is a reaction of a mental and physical, isn't it? That's why people cry. That's why they act goofy sometimes and whatever. Amen? Because it's a reaction to a feeling. Oh, hallelujah. In John chapter 8, blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 31, please. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, have never been in bondage to anyone. Oh, were they deceived? How can you say you will make me free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen. Say that. I speak what I have seen. with my Father, and you do whatever you have seen with your Father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornications. We have one Father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, you got to understand something. He was just speaking to the Sanhedrin. He was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth that were standing before him. He was speaking to all the men that were in wonderful robes and, you know, who supposedly carried the word and knew the word, but yet they didn't know it. He said, the truth will set you free. Now, here's two correlations. He talked about the Father from above and the Father from beneath. See, these men had emotional attachments, are you with me, to the Father from beneath. That's why they could not receive from the Father from above. Attachments, even though the Father who was standing right before them in Jesus spoke to them, right? The Father spoke to them. They couldn't receive to be free because of emotional attachments to the old Father of below. Does everybody understand this? They weren't willing to let go of those things. Why? Because their feelings of what they perceived were incorrect. So their reaction, emotion to feeling was to reject. Does everybody get it? To reject. Because see, they saw themselves in a different way than Jesus saw them. And this is where we talk about self-image. And that's one of the things the enemy wants to portray is his self-image in you and me. Go to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Remember, emotion is a what? Reaction to what? Feeling. Hallelujah. Truth is light in life, and darkness is deception and harmful. In Matthew chapter 11. Is everybody there? Let's see here. Go to 28. Jesus says something very powerful. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of y'all burdens are emotional attachments? Come on. Burdens are emotional attachments. Do you get it? That's why Jesus said, learn from me. Come on, I want to show you something. I want to show you how to sever these emotional attachments. Because the things that you have perceived are incorrect. What you see yourself is incorrect. But if you'll come and learn from me, if you'll learn from me, remember, he came as the example, didn't he? He walked this earth. Go to John 14. John 14 and verse 25. In verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now listen, this is powerful. He's going to bring all things to what Jesus said. See, so he's beginning to what? He's beginning to sever things, isn't he? Do you understand that? Jesus came to sever you from the world. And what does he say now? He said, what? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, he just talked about emotional attachments right here. Fear, troubled. Does everybody get it? In verse 28, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has what? Nothing in me. He has what? Nothing in me. In other words, he has no emotional attachments. Now, this is something very powerful because Jesus was born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Are you with me? So Jesus had no earthly father. His father was the Spirit. So he had no emotional attachments to this world. Are you getting this? But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. Again, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, he's going to help us get free. From what? Fear. And all the other things that are what? Emotional attachments. Are you with me? Remember, he said, the ruler of this world has what? Nothing in me. Why? Because he was not born of a man. He was born of the Spirit. Nothing was inherited to him. There was no emotional attachments. Go to Matthew 10. Now, emotion is a reaction to what? A feeling. Feelings are what we call senses, and senses is a thing that you perceive. And if there are things that you have perceived that were wrong, you are going to react in the wrong way. Hallelujah. Matthew 10 and verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. You know that, right? I did not come to bring what? Peace, but I came to bring what? A sword. You know what a sword does? Cuts. It severs, doesn't it? I came to bring a what? Sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now this is powerful because he just shared about emotional attachments. What? Mother, father, daughter, child, son. Does everybody understand it? These are emotional attachments. You know, you and I have been brought up in strange ways. Even though some of us were brought up in Christian homes, we didn't know the truth. We knew partial truths, but we never knew how to go into the deep arenas of the Spirit. Because God is unfolding many, many things now. Things that have not been unfolded before. And bringing powerful revelation that his children can walk free. One of the things he came was to bring life and life more abundantly. He wants to prosper us. But the problem is because we've been attached to so much garbage in this world, even though we're spirit-filled, what we call spirit-filled. Believe me, if we're truly spirit-filled, we wouldn't have any problems. But we call it spirit-filled. I was spirit-filled for 2 weeks, and I could not function in this world. Everywhere I went, things would happen, and I would just laugh. I couldn't eat. I was taking in dreams and visions every night. I would laugh like crazy. And when I'd go up to a person, I don't care if it was 90 years old, I'd say, my child, and think, what's coming out of my mouth? Because I was so filled with the Spirit that the Father was expressing Himself through this vessel. Do you understand that? Do I desire that? Oh, you bet. Felt like Moses with the veil on his head, you know. You know, in that arena where somebody says, you know, you're so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good. But I was ready to go home. I was fulfilled and satisfied. My life was fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bam. Instantly. Didn't care about nothing else. Fulfilled instantly. I'm ready to go home now. No, now you got work to do. But I'm telling you to be spirit. And some of us have been so filled with the Spirit of God that we have sensed the Father. And Jesus is speaking here again. He says, listen, if you love your job more than me, if you love your life more than me, these are emotional attachments. You know, because remember, we were brought up, and I know certain areas where parents had traditions and things that were brought up in our life, you know, some of us in strange ways. If it's illegal and you can get away with it, do it, you know. You know, we had honor and respect, even though people were criminals. Those were emotional attachments. But why? Because these feelings are things that we have perceived, even though they were wrong. Amen? No matter what it was, things that we perceived that were incorrect, established emotional attachments. And Jesus was saying, listen, I've come to bring division. I've come to sever. And if you love your mother and your father more than me, if you love your children more than me, if you love your job more than me, and if you love your life more than me, you got an emotional attachment that needs to be severed. Because I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring the sword. Are you with me? Praise God. Matthew 12. And verse 46. Matthew 12 and verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered and he said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who is my brother? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and here are my brother. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. Do you understand that? See, the enemy had no access to Jesus because he had no emotional attachments. Remember, he went in there and he said, what do you mean, my mother, my brother? Do you remember when Jesus did the first miracle by changing the water into wine? Now, you know, Mary was visited more than one time by angels. Hey, you're talking about the Son of God being her kid. Hello. I'm sure she was trained up correctly to aid in raising the Son of God, the Creator. It's kind of wild. You know, when she was rocking him, he was rocking her. You know? She just didn't get it yet. You know, he was like, oh, God, I got the Son of God. Don't drop the baby, you know. And So, you know, Mary, you know that she had to have more visitations than just what was written. You know? And in this arena where Mary knew that this was the child, she was granted a gift. She knew she was blessed to raise the Son of God. And Jesus, from the time he came into the world, knew that he was about his Father's business. Because he had no emotional attachments. In fact, when they went to the wedding, right? When they went into the wedding, the place ran out of wine. They ran out of wine, and they had water-filled clay vats. And they went and they asked Mary, you know, hey, how about maybe you can get your son to change this to, you know, do something. And Mary went to Jesus. And when she asked Jesus if something could be done about getting more wine, Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman," he didn't say mother. He said, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Immediately, Mary knew it's time. I am no longer his mother. I am his child. And she ran over to the disciples. Oh, whatever he says, do. Whatever he says, just do it. Don't look at me as the mother. Look at him as your God. Does everybody understand that? So she knew that this was it. I'm done. But she, of course, still had compassion for her son. She knew it was going to happen because from the moment Jesus, on the eighth day, went to go get circumcised, the prophet of the Lord told her, your heart's going to be pierced. Why? Because of the things that she's going to see the one that she raised all those years go through. She had an emotional attachment, but he didn't. Does everybody get it? So he was able to look at her and say, woman! And then the next time, he's on the cross, isn't he? And he's hanging on a cross getting ready to die. And he tells John, this is now your mother. And he tells Mary, this is now your son. No attachments. Oh, hallelujah. In Luke 14. Whew. Glory. In verse 25, would you read it with me? Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, in his own life also he cannot be my disciple. Again, he says this. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Does everybody see this? Or what king going out to make war against another king does not sit down first to consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Amen? In other words, you must count the cost. Be willing to do whatever it takes. There's a lot of people who come to the kingdom of God. Yeah, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Okay. Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes, man. Praise God. Today, anyways. Doing whatever it takes, you must learn to sever. The only time you go to your past is to sever and learn from your past. Amen? It's to sever your past and learn from it. You're not running from it. You're severing. Too many people are running from it. And let me share with you, you can't run from your past. It's always there. That's why people try to change locations, relationships, all kinds of stuff. Your past is always there. You must sever it and learn from it. And what are you severing? Emotional attachments. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Peter 5. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? Therefore, humble. Some people have a hard time saying humble. Come on, everybody say humble.
Humble.
Say it again. Humble. Pie. Good. Humble pie. Some of us eat a lot of humble pie. Humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. Casting all of your emotional attachments upon Him, for He cares for you. How many of y'all know cares are emotional attachments? Be sober. Be vigilant. In other words, see. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then it says what? Resist him. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Cast your emotional attachments. Faith is an attachment to the truth. Faith is an attachment to the truth. Why? Because truth sets you free. Faith is an attachment to the truth. Cares are emotional attachments. They become burdens. Jesus kept saying, man, just give it to me. Just give it to me. Come on, just give it to me. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. Would you learn from me? Read about me. Learn from me. Remember what I said when my mother and my brother showed up? I said that. Hey, look it. They ain't my mother and brothers. Only those who do the will of God. Jesus was not emotionally attached. Does everybody get it? Did He love them? Yes. Did He care for them? Yes. He came and died for us all. Then He went home. Then He sent His Spirit for me and you. Why? Because love is a choice, isn't it? He chose to come. But there's a specific reason why He did. And we'll talk more about that. Go to John 11. He said what? Learn from me. I love this part, man. This is cool. Talk about freaking people out. Jesus always blew people's minds. They always expected Him to react in a certain way, you know, or respond in a certain way because of what their traditions caused them to respond in a certain way, because of their upbringing, because of how they sensed things, what they felt, right? What they perceived. So they expected Jesus to respond the same way they do. Oh man, were they in for a rude awakening. In John 11 and verse 1, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in a place where he was. No, I love it. It says that he loved them. Okay, message comes to Jesus. Listen, man, the one you love is sick. Okay, I'll hang out two more days. No emotional attachments, did he? Come on, most of the people go, oh, Lord, we'd be on our knees interceding like crazy, and, you know. We'd be begging him, Lord, why aren't you going there? Come on, I'll rent a car. Come on, please, quick. No, I'll hang out two more days. No emotional attachments. He was not reacting or responding according to the tradition that's been imparted in man. Because there was a different self-image. Does everybody understand it? Jesus knew who he was. You know that man and many believers still don't know who they are? They see themselves different than what's portrayed. Oh, hallelujah. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Now, what were these guys attached to? Fear. Come on, man, don't you get it? They're going to stone you. Wait a minute, who are they hanging out with? That wasn't Junior Barnes, you know. That was Jesus. The creator of all things. And they were concerned about him. You remember what Peter did when they were in the garden? Remember when they came to take Jesus? What does he do? He pulls a sword out of one of the soldiers and cuts the dude's ear off. All right, Lord, I'll fight for you. Jesus is looking at him. You idiot. Get out of my way. Stop interfering with the will of God. Why? He was emotionally attached, wasn't he? So he was going to fight for Jesus. Then what happened with Peter when he said that he did the same thing, right? And he said, Lord, ain't nobody getting to you but through me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Wait a minute. See, that character, fallen nature, that Peter was still portraying, that he was a child of darkness, not the child of light. He was responding to those senses and feelings that have been imparted in tradition into him. Do you understand it? So Jesus is going, come on, let's go. And they're all, man, wait a minute, they're going to stone you. No, come on, let's go. They're emotionally attached with fear. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, will he get well? Hello? However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, man. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, that you may what? Believe. What was he trying to do? Change their thought system. He was trying to change their belief system. Come on, haven't you got it? Now, remember how many times he said, do you understand this yet? Why? Because they were still portraying what they saw as a self-image instead of the image that Jesus was trying to impart in them. Oh, hallelujah. And of course, this went on. And in verse 16, and Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's also go, that we may die with him. So, you know, Thomas is going, okay, Jesus is going back there. You know, I know we're heading back over there to where Lazarus is. Okay, cool. You know. And we're all going to die, so let's go die with him. Isn't it wild? So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb, Lazarus, 4 days. Now, so Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have just been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, he'll give you." Hello? Talk about manipulation. Boy, that emotional attachment will cause you to do all kinds of things. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And she's like, "No, wait a minute." But Martha said, I know he's going to rise again at the resurrection at the last day. You know, you'd think, Jesus, I'm surprised, Jesus, what do you think I'm here for? And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." But she didn't say anything that she believed he'd raise him from the dead. Hello? And this happened more than once. "Lord, if you had been here," go to verse 32. Now Mary goes out. Now this was Martha. Now Mary goes out and says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Emotional attachments. "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned." In other words, he was frustrated. Slightly angry. Come on. Hello? He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. He did not weep because of emotional attachments. Do you understand that? He wept because they didn't know who he was and who they were. Come on, the Creator hung around with his own creation, and they still didn't know who he was or who they were. And you don't think he told them, "Don't you understand it? You have been chosen. You're the chosen." Listen, the Jews knew all they were the chosen one from the beginning, didn't they? They know that God chose them. And here Jesus, they were waiting for the Messiah to come, but they were so caught up by emotional attachments that they missed him. Because they perceived something different. Yet he was right in front of them. Because their self-image was associated with not what God was trying to tell them, but what the enemy was telling them. So they couldn't see. Are you with me? And then in verse 38, and then Jesus groaned again in himself and so forth. And we all know the end that, you know, Jesus said, "Okay, roll the stone away. Let's raise him. It's time." And one of the sisters said, "Wait a minute, Lord, he stinks. Everybody stand back, we're going to roll the stone away." She was concerned about how he smelled. Because she sensed, she perceived what it was like to raise somebody or to go into a tomb after somebody's been dead for 4 days. But she forgot that she was with the resurrection of life. Because of what she perceived. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Waited 4 days. Jesus loved them, but not emotionally attached. He responded to express the love of the Father. Jesus could not react. He didn't react to things. Re-enact. Do you all get it? Re-enact. According to what? The old nature. Because he had no old nature. He was the divine nature. Amen? Because at the moment he was born, he was about his Father's business. So he responded. Now I want to share with you that there are emotions that are healthy and unhealthy. Amen? It doesn't mean that we're stone stiff and motionless. But there are emotions that are healthy and there are emotions that are unhealthy. And what we want to do is express and remove the unhealthy emotional ties that prevent us from going forward. And that has to start with a change of a belief system. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Unhealthy emotions, because of the belief system that's attached, will mislead an individual. Remember, thoughts have images. Images have feelings. Feelings, emotions. Emotions, habits. See, we get in custom of a habit of how to react to everything. Amen? Oh. Emotional attachments to the wrong belief system will limit our growth and acceptance. Emotional attachments to the wrong belief system will limit our growth and acceptance. Our acceptance of what? What God has for us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you with me? Are you hanging in there? Remember, I want to lay a foundation first. So in other words, so that we can illustrate the example of Jesus not having emotional attachments. Didn't he say, learn from me? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, feelings represent what? Senses. Your senses. Things that you perceive. Amen? Is everybody there? In verse 21. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. Lusts. Are they emotional ties? Emotional attachments? Yes. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid foolish, arrogant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. Sounds like emotional attachments, doesn't it? And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle to all. Able to what? Teach, patient, in humility. Correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their what? Senses. Whoa. In other words, so that they may perceive, because they've been deceived. That they may come to their senses, their perceptions, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Feelings are senses. These are things that we attribute to what we have perceived. Does everybody understand this? So these individuals have been taken captive because of what they perceived was incorrect. Yeah, well, I just feel this way. How many times you try to assure somebody, man, well, I just feel this way, and I'm going to do this no matter what. Well, they have an emotional attachment to that feeling, don't they? Even though it's wrong. Hello? Praise God. Jesus said, cleanse. So it's time to cleanse the latter, to bring to light life and truth, or to expose darkness and the lie. Come to their senses, feelings attributed to the belief system. Come on, everybody say them. Senses attributed to the what? Belief system. What you have believed, what you have perceived, is something that what you believe. What is the most deadly emotion, emotional reaction? What's the most deadly emotional reaction? Fear. Fear is a deadly emotion. Satan's power is fear. There is a fear that we know about that's different. We call it a honor or respect. That's not the same fear as being taken in slavery. Amen? This fear we call is a response, not a reaction. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. So we must cleanse ourselves from the latter. From what? These emotional attachments that are associated with the wrong belief system. Matthew 8 and verse 18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. These were two emotional attachments that he was speaking about. Nowhere to lay my head. He had no emotional attachments to this world. Does everybody understand? Did he love the world? He loved the people in the world, didn't he? But he was not emotionally attached to it. Why? Because he knew he had to leave and then he would come back. But there was no emotional. He said to the man, you want to follow me? Look, I don't have a place to lay my head. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to sever yourself from the world? Doesn't the Bible say that we are sojourners in this world? We are not of this world. This is not our home. See, people are emotionally attached to this world. And you have all kinds of goofy religions out there that worship the plants. And these idiots are out there talking about global warming. They have no idea. That's gone up a half a degree, you know? Oh my God, all kinds of things are going to happen. And they're predicting what's going to happen in the next gazillion years or whatever. First of all, their understanding of generating or understanding of how to calculate time is a theory anyways. It's not a fact. Does everybody understand that? It's a theory. They're not absolute or precise. Everything we're associated with in the secular world is associated with theory that they turn into truth, but it's not truth. It is theory. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Don't get me started. Jesus expressed here. He said, follow me. Now listen to this. I love this. Now the man that was saying, okay, Lord, let me first bury my father. It didn't mean his father was dying that day. He said, let me hang out with my dad until my dad dies one day. Does everybody understand that? He said, I want to stay with my family until they finally die off and then I'll follow you. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. He was emotionally attached, wasn't he? He was preventing, this emotional attachment was preventing this supposedly disciple in following the Lord. Let me just wait till my dad dies and then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, listen, let the dead bury the dead. Does everybody get it? And he moved on. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? I'm starting at verse 6 through 8. It says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Remember, thoughts, image. So as you think is what you see. If you really could slow down your reaction in super, super slow motion, when that thought came to you, there would be an image before you. You would see it. If you could slow it down, you would see the thought. Because every thought is associated with an image. When you get angry sometimes, you could see your childhood when you were first angry. You could see things and how you react to things. Because these feelings, these things that you perceived, right? Now you're responding or you're reacting towards them by emotion. If you could see them. So as a man thinks, in other words, as a man thinks, as a man sees, so he is. That's called self-image. Is everybody with me? Cool. As a man thinks, so he is. Now, we know that the heart is the character of the Spirit. In other words, it expresses the Spirit. It's the character of the Spirit. It is, in fact, the heart's a representation that connects between what we call the soul and the Spirit. And the Spirit, we know, communes in the spirit world. Your spirit communes with the spirit world. Your soul interprets, and the body does the work, or the flesh expresses it. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Go to Matthew 15. In verse 18 and 19, Jesus said, but those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the what? The heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed what? Evil what? Thoughts. Evil. Murders. Adulterers. Fornications. Thefts. False witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. The heart, the evil thoughts. In fact, Jeremiah said that the heart is the most deceitful thing. Is the most deceitful thing above all things. Thoughts are images. As a man sees, so he is. This is called, again, self-image. What you perceive is what you receive. What you perceive is what you receive. And it is what you are. Are you with me? So your belief system is going to portray who you are because that's what you see. Does everybody get this? So what needs to get changed? Our belief system. Why? Because of what you believe is what you perceive, and what you perceive is what you see. Go to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Yes. We said all this to get to here. Do you all understand now that we have to lay a foundation? You have to see how Jesus was emotionally not attached. Does everybody get it? Did he care? Yes. Did he love? Yes. Love is a choice. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. It tells you what love is. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living being. So Adam was made in his image and likeness. Go to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a what? A deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then a rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woo-man. Woo-man. Because she was taken out of a man. She was a man with a womb. Does everybody understand? Adam was created in image and likeness of God. Eve was created in the image and likeness of Adam, which was in the image and likeness of who? God. Does everybody get it? That wasn't too difficult, was it? Adam was made in his image, and Eve came from Adam. Hallelujah. Now, image and likeness is a representation of when you're in the image and likeness of God. God is one who rules with dominion. Watch this. Go to Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26. Then God said, let us what? Make man in our image according to our what? Likeness. Let them have what? That's the first word he says. Let them have what? Dominion. What were they? What? Now, wait a minute. God created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness, so they had a self-image with what? Of God. They weren't not gods, but they had a self-image with dominion and rule, didn't they? Cool. Let us make him in our image. Now look at, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb and so forth. So God provided everything, didn't he? Again, I want you to really understand something there. To be fruitful and multiply, his intent was to continue to produce offsprings in his image and in his likeness. With what? Authority and dominion. So they had a self-image, didn't they? They communed with God in a garden. God imparted him. He was training them. He was teaching them the self-image of who he was. Praise God. And as Adam and Eve cooperated the union of procreation, see, God was even allowing man to become a part of creation by what? Having offsprings. See, we kind of take that for granted. Oh, they're pregnant. It's a part of creation. See, because of the way we're brought up, we don't look at it this way. We just look at a man and woman getting together and pregnant. But we don't look in the arena of what God was intending to allow man to cooperate and be a part of creation. Because that self-image is gone. It was stolen. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Adam and Eve's self-image before the fall was in the likeness of God and in the character of rule and dominion. Satan wanted to steal that self-image and replace it with a false image of God called good and evil. Man's fall lost self-image of rule and dominion and became a slave to fear, only to maintain a triune likeness as with a spirit, soul, and body. Does everybody understand that? When they fell, they lost the self-image of dominion. Does everybody get this? They lost who they were, and they picked up the image that Satan portrayed. Satan stole the self-image of the likeness and character of God. He knew that if he can steal that from them, that they would begin to cooperate with his image and likeness, and he would begin to have his own offsprings. Are you with me? Satan began to produce offsprings in his image and likeness as he sent angels to take wives, his angels. Eventually, God destroyed mankind because of the self-image of Satan's character. That's when the flood came. He said, enough's enough. Everyone's thoughts is evil. Amen. Of course, we know that Noah and his family escaped there. In Romans 7:14. Got your finger there? Praise God. Hold it till Tuesday. We're running out of time. But we'll pick this up Tuesday, okay? I just want to reiterate one of the things that has happened and one of the things that's going to change us as we begin to sever emotional attachments is by the belief system being changed. Because the belief system associates with your self-image. And even though you're saying, well, I'm a child of the Most High God and so forth, you're still seeing yourself as the old nature. And you don't even realize it because of the emotional attachments will keep the old nature alive. Are you with me? Okay, we're going to get to the root of this, though. We're going to expose it and bring back what the devil stole so that we can walk in the image and likeness of the Creator, our Father, and be the offsprings of the children of God and King's kids and start taking dominion and rule. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word, and we know you'll meet us here next Tuesday. We are honored and blessed, Lord. Continue to bring us revelation of these things that you are imparting in us, that we may be totally severed from emotional ties associated with the wrong belief system. Lord, we ask that you'll grant us wisdom and knowledge and understanding to receive what your Spirit is saying, that we may go forward in your image and likeness, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Be blessed.